Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Alan Collins. And Alan is the founder of Student Loan Justice. And Alan went to both Democratic and Republican conventions in Cleveland and Philadelphia. And he's here to talk about it and how it relates to the student loan crisis. Hi, Alan. Did you have a fun
week? Yeah, good to be with you.
Good.
Yeah, it was quite adventuresome. Cleveland, well, it was both very hot. Cleveland was very well protected. Philadelphia, not quite so many police, but. As for the student loan problem, unfortunately, I have to report that there wasn't any great progress and that currently only the Green Party can we at Student Loan Justice support.
So even though nothing was said in the convention about the student loan crisis by either party, what was the consensus of the people that you talked with on the outside?
Well, student loans has risen dramatically in prominence, even over the past 2012 election, Mitt Romney and so forth. And for good reason, you know, we've added probably $400 or $500 billion onto our nation's student loan debt bill since 2012, and that was reflected by the people on the street for sure. And also, I should say that the rhetoric from both campaigns has also ratcheted up, talking about student debt. Although neither party has put forth anything that's significant at all. The most significant thing I can point to is from the Hillary Clinton camp, where she's talking about liberating students, liberating students by allowing them to refinance their student loans at lower interest rates. Now, both Hillary's refinancing plan and also other refinancing plans that have been put forth by the Congress for people like Elizabeth Warren and others are, quite frankly, almost not worth the paper that they're written on. And that's just very disappointing. By Hillary Clinton's own admission, her quote-unquote refinancing plan would save students typically about $1,900 over the life of their loans. Well, if you look at the average undergraduate student who is now leaving school with $35,000 in loans, $1,900 over a 10-year repayment period really isn't very exciting. And I should say that as the interest rates rise, because these all of these refinancing plans are pegged to LIBOR, which is the London Interbank Exchange Rate, or lending rate. As interest rates rise, the interest rates on these refinanced loans will also rise, and so the savings become less and less as interest rates go up. So, it was quite disappointing. You know, there are structural problems with the student lending system. The prices of college have risen so high. The amount of debt being foisted onto the students is so high. This really is the crux of the problem. It's not the interest rates. It's the sticker price. And Hillary's quote-unquote tuition-free college plan really is not a tuition or debt-free college plan. Both Hillary and Bernie were putting out, were promoting ideas where they would give money to the schools or the states, which would eventually get to the schools, and in exchange, the schools would lower their tuitions to zero. Well, that looks good on paper, But the fact of the matter is that the colleges are really good at creating new billable items, and they could very easily do this. And so, for example, they could very easily raise the cost of their dormitories and their other, you know, things that they can bill the students for, so that while on paper the tuition goes down to zero, the fact of the matter is that borrowing remains the same or could even increase under these plans. And so, this is really kind of, and I hate to say it, I'd be a lifelong Democrat, but these are really sort of more tax and spend, throw money at the problem type solutions that at the end of the day probably won't benefit the citizens at all. And make no mistake, the 44 million people that are out there in the country right now saddled under nearly $1.5 trillion in student loan debt would not be affected one iota by any of these free college or debt-free college plans that we're hearing about.
Now, you and I have talked in the past about how this has been a big bonanza for the federal government and so forth. So, but when did it start where the colleges have gotten involved in this whole thing by raising their tuitions and, you know, making it pretty unaffordable for the average person?
Right. Yeah, this story goes back, it really begins in the 1970s, believe it or not, when Congress, under the pressure from the lenders, which at that time the only lender in town was Sallie Mae, the lenders pressured Congress to remove the most basic consumer protections that you can imagine for a loan, from student loans. So, for example, Congress removed bankruptcy protections beginning in the 70s. This was a total and permanent removal of bankruptcy protections from federal loans in 1998. And then in 2005, Congress took away bankruptcy protections even from private student loans. So by 2005, there was no bankruptcy protections for federal student loans or private loans, no statutes of limitations for federal loans, no fair debt collection practice laws, truth in lending laws. It was all been specifically vacated from federal student loans. And the result has been that the federal government now makes a $50 billion a year profit on the student loan system. But what's probably more concerning is that they make a profit on defaults. So where a credit card company is thrilled to get back, you know, 10 cents on the dollar for a defaulted account, the federal government actually makes a profit, about a 10 or 20% profit on defaulted student loans. So it's in this environment that the Department of Education, which runs the student loan program, is more than willing, in fact, wants to lend as much money as possible out to students. And so that's why we've seen just a massive increase in the price of college, number one, and the amount of debt being saddled onto the students in the second place.
Now, at either convention, or maybe both, was Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, there? And did she address this issue?
Jill Stein was around in Philadelphia. And, you know, the Green Party has committed to canceling all student loan debt as a part of their platform. You know, at studentloanjustice.org, my group, we are fighting quite modestly, actually, for only the return of the standard consumer protections that I mentioned earlier, so bankruptcy, statutes of limitations, and others. The Green Party has gone way beyond that and is literally proposing the cancellation of all student debt. And, you know, more power to them. There's a growing argument for exactly that. And quite frankly, we the citizens, certainly at studentloanjustice.org, have gotten to the point where the stubborn refusal of the government, of Congress, to even acknowledge this problem, let alone put forth a meaningful solution to it, has gotten to the point where we, the citizens, are considering rolling out a new movement that we're calling Slexit, so student loan exit. And that is pretty much what you think it would be. We're planning on literally burning our student loan papers in barrels in the not-so-distant future if Congress and the president and the government refuses to act on this. So the Green Party's proposal to forgive all student loan debt is looking better and better as time goes on.
The Green Party convention is going to be this weekend in Texas, and I'm going to have some people on my show next week to talk about what they've heard and what they've seen and what it means to, you know, the voter in America. But no one has astounded me throughout this whole process. And, you know, I've heard Clinton, I've heard Trump, I've heard Sanders. And knowing what I know because of you, it just boggles my mind that none of them would even dare mention, you know, bankruptcy protection. And what really astounds me, Alan, is the fact that there's 43 million Americans that are listening to these candidates, and not one person except you is really making a stink over the fact that it's not being brought up.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Cynthia. It is absolutely baffling. You know, before the Puerto Rico primary, Bernie Sanders, to his credit, was very quick to write a lengthy note of support for giving that territory the right to file what's called a Super 8 bankruptcy or something, the same bankruptcy protections that every other U.S. state has in the nation. And he minced no words. He was very unambiguous, and he talked head-on to the problem, and I was very impressed. Well, neither Bernie Sanders nor Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, for that matter, have mentioned bankruptcy and student loans in the same sentence since they announced their campaigns. And so you have to ask, you know, what is the game here? What is the unspoken boundary that these candidates will not cross, and why is it there? It's very troubling.
See, the thing that people talk about is when I talk about Jill Stein, people say, oh, to support Jill Stein is like ensuring that Trump wins the presidency. And the media has portrayed Trump as a terrible, terrible person. So instead of voting with their pocketbooks and saying, hey, I'm in debt, Jill Stein can help me, they're not looking at this is what is so baffling to me.
Yeah, you know, I agree. The American voter is not always that well informed, generally, and they vote on issues more almost sort of entertainment value, it seems to me, than anything often. And I think that's really too bad. But, you know, I put the onus on the candidates for not raising the important issues. You know, it really kind of does go back to that. And I think a lot of the citizens are so disenchanted, disenfranchised by both parties that they're sort of treating the whole election as kind of a joke at this point. And, you know, they're just kind of going for what makes them emotionally feel good rather than what actually is good for them. And, you know, if the candidates were putting something out there publicly, unambiguously, and aggressively that actually speaks to their actual problems, like student loan debt, which, as you point out, rightly, is affecting 44 million people, actually more than that if you consider people who have co-signed on their students' loans, on their sons and daughters, nephew, nieces, grandchildren's loans, it's even higher than that. So, yeah, you know, it is baffling. But, again, I sort of blame the candidates for not keeping the debate on important, certainly important economic issues. And they're very happy to talk about Donald Trump's hair for a week rather than talk about more important issues.
Throughout the whole primary process, you know, Bernie Sanders kept talking free tuition, and a lot of people were sucked into that whole mindset, but not one person said, hey, wait a second, free tuition might be okay, but what about me who owes $100,000 or $50,000? Hey, when am I going to get my turn? Nobody said that, and I don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of people probably did say that to them personally as they made their way around the various campaign stops. But in the media, you're right. You're absolutely right. That was never aired, and certainly the candidates did nothing to address the citizens who have already been through college, the 44 million people we just discussed, already been through college, already have the debt to show for it, and vote. I mean, talk about massive political miscalculation. You know, free college for future students is all good and well, and, you know, the idea at least has some merit. But let's face it, people who haven't yet been to college are probably less than 18 years old, and by and large, they can't vote. And so, again, I'm just baffled. I'm baffled and shocked. And, you know, hopefully that will change. We have 100 days now. There's 100 days left until the general election. Okay. And the citizenry, myself included in that, has 100 days to try and get through one or both of the major party campaigns. And so that's what I'll be focusing on. Although increasingly we will definitely be voicing more and more support for the Green Party if the major parties continue to completely and grossly neglect this issue.
You know, it's been written and said that Hillary Clinton has gotten serious money from Wall Street. So that's a given. Bernie Sanders, who did not mention bankruptcy protection one, was he funded primarily by Wall Street also?
You know, I actually haven't looked closely at Bernie Sanders' funding stream. You know, I take the campaign at their word where they say their average donation was $27 million, or sorry, $27 per person.
Right.
So, you know, that's a good question. I haven't looked at it directly, but I have to say the mismatch between Bernie's very very promising rhetoric about keeping the banks in check, about fighting for the little guy and so forth, the contrast between this and his MIA status on the student loan program is troubling, to say the least.
You know, at the very beginning when Trump first announced, or the first couple of months of his candidacy, you were kind of hopeful that he would bring this issue up, but what's your feeling about the Republicans and the student loan debt crisis?
Well, I'm still hopeful for Donald Trump, frankly. He said some very interesting things early on in the campaign. He was very concerned that the government was profiting hugely on the student lending program. And something like 9 months ago at this point, he said, oh, you know, we're going to be rolling out our higher education plan very soon. You're going to love it. The kids are going to love it, blah, blah, blah. And, You know, that was 9 months ago, and he has not gotten around to actually putting out a higher education plan yet. But, you know, if he's smart, I'm hopeful that he will, and I'm hopeful that he'll address the consumer protection issue for student loans straight on. I mean, here's a guy mm-hmm. who has multiple corporate bankruptcies in his past, and he, more than anybody, should understand the importance and the social usefulness of a uniform bankruptcy system. And hopefully, as Mr. Khan said, or questioned, hopefully he has read the Constitution, and hopefully Donald Trump understands that the Founding Fathers put a uniform bankruptcy code ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army and a navy, even ahead of the power to form a judiciary and coin currency when they enumerated the powers of Congress in Article 1, Section 8. Hopefully Donald Trump knows all this, and hopefully he also understands the 44 million voters that are very concerned about this issue. But, you know, time is getting pretty short here, and so we continue to try and compel the Trump campaign at every step in the way to open up on this issue, and so time will tell. But time is getting short.
You know, it's interesting to see when all is said and done, how many people actually voted in their best interest or voted out of fear of a Trump presidency. I think that's an important thing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that Trump is sort of the fear-monger. But, you know, Hillary Clinton and her troop is also trying very hard to compel people to vote out of fear of a Donald Trump presidency. And
Right. So
it's a really kind of a horrible dynamic where each campaign is playing off a different set of fears to the electorate. And that is never a good way to promote positive, you know, constructive agendas. And it's quite distressing, and it's quite shameful as well. I should on both with both candidacies, quite shameful.
Now the talk on the street. I know you didn't go into the convention. I assume you didn't go in, but the people you talked to in Philly and in Cleveland, and you told them exactly what you were doing. What was their reaction?
They were thrilled that I was there. I had some very interesting conversations with a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters, and they were livid. In fact, I think Hillary Clinton's going to have a hard time attracting their votes as long as she continues to sort of pull this sort of ambiguous, sounds good, but actually isn't good line with many facets of her agenda, the student loan piece included. What's really disingenuous to me and what struck a lot of the Bernie people as disingenuous was Hillary's claim that she had adopted many of Sanders' position points. You know, Sanders' position was never that great on the student loan problem in the first place. And so Hillary saying that she's embraced his higher education agenda is beyond unimpressive. It's like almost a joke. It's sort of laughable, quite frankly. And I don't think she impressed the Bernie people very much with that at all. And I think at this point, my best guess is that more Bernie Sanders people are going to either vote for Jill Stein or not vote than are going to actually go to the polls and pull the lever for Hillary. And that's really too bad. You know, again, as I said, as with Trump, we have 100 days left. And Hillary used to be pretty good on the student loan issue. 10 years ago, with our help, student loan justice myself, she drafted and introduced the Student Borrower Bill of Rights, S-511. That was a very good bill. It would have paved the way for returning bankruptcy protections, put repayment caps over 10 and 15 year periods on student loans. Did a bunch of other really good things on the consumer protection end. But since 10 years ago, Hillary has taken at least two steps backwards away from the people and towards the banks and the government on this issue. So it's incredibly distressing. Hopefully she will rediscover her roots on this issue. And again, we're working very hard over here at Student Loan Justice to make that happen. But it remains to be seen. And as with Trump, as for both candidates, time is absolutely getting short. You know, they could come up with the best higher education plan in the world a week before the election, and unfortunately it's going to be too late at that point, because it takes time for the truth to percolate around the electorate. And so they've really got to get going if they're going to do anything on the higher education system meaningful. They really need to roll them out, I would say, within the next 2 months or so, because, you know, if they do it with a couple weeks left, the citizens, the voters, may never get the memo.
You know, we've talked a lot about Jill Stein and Trump and Hillary, but we haven't talked about much about the Libertarian candidate. Has he said anything about the student loan debt crisis?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I probably should say a little more. Basically, the Libertarians this time around appear to be taking the same line that Ron Paul took eight or four years ago, where essentially they're for the government getting out of the lending program entirely. And, you know, there actually may be some merit to that. Certainly, if the government was to completely pull out of the student loan program, there would be a drastic decrease in the price of college. A lot of the sort of bad colleges who had been living off of the student loan program would go out of business. It would be a very major shakeout. So it's something to think about. However, I must say that none of the Libertarians are actually proposing anything, again, as Hillary and Bernie and Donald are not. The Libertarians are saying nothing about people who are holding existing debt. So Ron Paul proposed making no changes to the existing debt portfolio, not forgiving it, not doing anything with it, but essentially just throwing it over to the IRS for collections. Now, that to me is a pretty bad dodge, and that's really a pretty sinister undercurrent that the Libertarians were putting forth back when Ron Paul was running. I haven't heard anything on this second issue, that is what to do with the existing debt, from the current Libertarians, Mr. Gary Johnson and his running mate. So I certainly cannot give any endorsement to the Libertarian Party at this point.
Okay. So the Green Party convention is this weekend in Texas. And, you know, I'm going to be doing a show with two people who are going to be down there next week. So after that's done, maybe you and I can again talk about the presidential race and what's going on.
Absolutely. I'd love to, Cynthia. And in fact, if we can get funding together within the next week, I would love to be down in Texas at the convention. That's about a 50-50 at this point, quite frankly. So we'll see what happens. But by all means, we certainly should circle around and meet up again after the Green Party convention and see what's new.
Okay, so if you're in need of donations for a trip to Texas, how can people contact you?
Oh, that's a great point. Thank you for asking. People can very easily come to studentloanjustice.org and just click on the donate button. And, you know, any help that they can be would be greatly appreciated towards that end. We also have a GoFundMe platform, so if people like GoFundMe, they can do it that way as well. Just search for Student Loan Justice, and we'll pop right up.
Okay. Where about in Texas is it going to be? Do you know?
You know, I'm literally just getting back from Philadelphia in the past day, and so I actually don't know. But that's a great point, great question.
Okay.
And if
so
I was sitting at my computer, I'd be Googling it right now.
we'll talk soon. So
okay,
you have been listening to Alan Collins, the founder of Student Loan Justice. I'm your host, Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment or criticism about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Thanks, Alan, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Bye.